The 2-Minute Drill, brought to you by Alta Mortgage Financial on Utah's number one sports talk, ESPN 700.
2-Minute Drill time here on a Friday on the Bill Riley Show, Utah's number one sports talk. Hour one of the books, hour two ahead. We're going to talk some NBA draft and summer basketball camps and stuff with DeLon Wright in just a few minutes. He and some former teammates and friends have some camps coming up in August here. He's also getting ready for next year with the Toronto Raptors. First, though, as I mentioned before the break, RSL tomorrow night at Avaya Stadium to play the San Jose Earthquakes. Last week was a nice beginning step in the right direction against Minnesota, but the opponent will get a little bit better, and it's on the road. Chris Camrani, I guess maybe final time we talked to Chris Camrani as the beat writer for the Salt Lake Tribune, and Real Salt Lake joins us here on the Bill Riley Show. Is this your final assignment?
It might be, man. We'll have to light a couple candles.
Man, I'm going to have to pour one out or two. Yeah. But then again, you and I might be able to hoist one or two because you're joining the Ute beat, right?
Indeed, yeah. You're not getting rid of me yet, man.
And Camrani just stalks me from Rio Tinto Stadium to Rice Eccles and the Huntsman. So we'll talk about that at another time. RSL, what'd you like that you saw last weekend?
The return of Justin Glad. Let's not make it overly complex. It's hard to think how different this team could have been had Justin played the first few months of the season. Everything was so much more simple out of the back. He connects with the midfield. He can even play those balls to the front line. This team just looks totally different with Justin in there. And I think if they needed someone to come back from injury, from all these different guys that were hurt, he was always number one for me, and we saw that last weekend.
I totally agree, but I also think Jefferson Savarino playing the number 10 was responsible for the 29-5. I know they only got the one goal, but I thought he was really active and creative in that number 10 spot too, Chris.
He was, and I think when they were scouting Jefferson, Craig and Andy Williams, these guys were saying that this isn't a guy that can solely...
Chris?
Years when Javi was out, we always wondered, you know, who was going to step in and replace Javi. And with Albert off with the U21s at the Euro Championships, we had that question going in, and Savarino stepped in and did very, very well. I'm interested to see going forward how Mike, if he can, manage to get Savarino, Rusnak, Lennon, Plata, Jura, if he can get them all on the field, if there's a formation that they can tweak with and get them all on the field, because if they can get them going all on the same page at the second half of the season, they could do some damage.
So tomorrow night they play the Quakes, who are solid right now. They're sitting ahead of RSL in the standings. Expectation going on the road tomorrow night. Obviously, you have to take it away from home, and I think the opponent's going to be a little bit better tomorrow night too.
And they're on a 5-game losing streak, and they've conceded 19 goals during these games on the road. So can the return of Justin really help to stop bleeding these goals? I don't know. They're going to have question marks in the midfield. I mean, Kyle's got the yellow card suspension. Sonny's got the calf injury. Don't know if he's going to be able to go. It's tough going on the road and stopping any opposing team's attack, but when you're down your top two defensive midfielders, I think Mike and the staff have their work cut out for them. They got to figure out who they can step in and, you know, play alongside Luke. Can Omar Holness be that guy? It's going to be really interesting to see what they do tactically tomorrow night.
That's Chris Camrani. Read him in the pages of the Salt Lake Tribune and a short timer on the RSL beat. We'll talk to you soon, Chris.
Thanks, Bill.
There he is, Chris Camrani with us here. We go from one Salt Lake scribe to a former Salt Lake Tribune scribe. Now on the Lakers beat down in Southern California. Talked to him a lot during the playoffs. Bill Oram with us here, Lakers insider in Salt Lake City. I didn't think we'd be talking to you again until next basketball season, but lo and behold, the Lakers decide they're going to take a Ute, and Kyle Kuzma is now joining Lonzo Ball and the rest of the draft class, Billy.
Yeah, all things eventually come together, I suppose. So, Kyle Kuzma going to be the next Laker.
He is a Laker, and what did the Lakers and Magic in the front office and Luke Walton say, if anything, last night after the draft about him?
Well, we haven't heard from Magic yet, but it's pretty clear. I mean, Kyle Kuzma was really a guy who shot up the draft boards after a really strong showing at the Combine in May in Chicago. He was part of the first group that worked out for the Lakers. That wasn't an accident. And this is a team that wants to get out and run. They want to spread the floor. They want to play with pace. you know, he's a guy who can handle the ball with size, shoot it a little bit. It fits what Luke Walton wants to do. I mean, if you think about what Golden State does at a really, really high level, that's what Luke is trying to institute in L.A. And a lot of people thought they would go for Josh Jackson if they passed on Lonzo Ball. Not a lot of people thought they were going to pass on Lonzo Ball, but if they would have, it would have been Josh Jackson, who's 6'9", and can kind of do all those things that, frankly, Kyle Kuzma does at maybe a little bit of a lower level. So for them, I mean, I think they're pretty happy with the value they got from a guy who might need a little bit of time to develop, but can step in and do some of the things they really like, and has a little bit of that Larry Nance quality to him.
So what's the next chapter? I was talking about it earlier. The Jazz got the draft is the smaller part of the NBA offseason for most teams. Now free agency approaches. We've heard all kinds of crazy stuff regarding the Lakers, including Paul George. Do they make a trade to bring him in? Do they wait till he's a free agent? What do you think July 1st and moving for the next week or so after that, Bill, is going to look like for the Lakers?
Well, if the Paul George thing doesn't materialize, if they aren't able to put together a package to trade for Paul George, and I'm gonna say right now, I don't see that the Lakers have the pieces to make that happen. If they couldn't convince Indiana that the 27 and 28 plus Jordan Clarkson or Julius Randle was enough to get that deal done, I have a hard time seeing them coming up with much more. I mean, there's not any more change in the couch cushions unless they decide they're willing to part with Brandon Ingram or Ivica Zubac, who's that young center from Croatia who a lot of people don't know about but had a really strong second half of his rookie year and the Lakers are really high on. I don't see them moving him either. So I think if the Lakers can't pull off something off for Paul George, it's going to be a pretty quiet offseason. You know, fill in some holes and short-term contracts to get to next summer when you hopefully, if from the Lakers' perspective, are able to woo the LeBron James, it's really the ultimate prize in big game free agency hunting. So, I mean, LeBron James is the top of the list, Russell Westbrook's there, and then hopefully Paul George doesn't go somewhere that he really, really likes and still wants to come to the Lakers in another year.
If I set the over-under over the next year on number of LeBron James stories or questions Bill Orem has to answer at about 500, do you think it's over or under that?
Oh, boy. I'll take the under just because I'm probably going to hide. I'm just going to run whenever I see anybody coming. I'm just going to go run and lock myself in a closet until they go away. But this is something that has been sort of out there for a couple of years, this idea that, you know, LeBron, once he wins a title in Cleveland, which he achieved in 2016, is he really going to finish his career there? Does that really fit kind of hit the way he like runs his own business? And a lot of people have speculated that he would eventually move west. And that actually sets up a really interesting in-town heavyweight battle between the Clippers and the Lakers. Both teams are expected to move mountains to try to bring him in. The Clippers obviously have the more championship-ready team right now. Chris Paul and LeBron James, obviously members of the Banana Boat Gang and their buddies. So, I mean, there's a strong thought that LeBron actually might prefer to play for the Clippers than the Lakers, which kind of necessitates the Lakers getting some pieces now and making their team more appealing. That would be part of the reason to sell out and get Paul George now.
He covers the Lakers. He'll be ducking LeBron questions as best he can, and he'll be seeing Kyle Kuzma in Summer League. He is our friend Bill Orem from the Orange County Register and Lakers Insider here on the Bill Riley Show. Thank you, Billy.
Hey, thank you, Billy.